Good morning and welcome to the Friday show. How is everybody doing today? Today we're going to talk about six things to really discuss and talk about as a family. We got to be on the same page about these six things to make puppy raising as successful as possible. So I'm going to challenge you today. If you've already brought home a puppy, see how many of these things you guys fleshed out, agreed upon, had in writing, put on the fridge before bringing home a puppy. Or if you're getting ready to bring home a puppy, let's get this started. Let's get the communication open with everybody that's going to be a part of raising the puppy's life. As you can see, when we go through these, we don't always think of them. And when you look at it from a puppy's point of view, if these things are not consistent, this is why we then have delays in things like potty training, training in general, ill behaviors, overexcitement, things like that, that we just don't want to have. Super excited to share this six things to consider. And the graphic, this is actually in my new book, which will be available really, really soon. Let me show you guys a little sneak peek. Here's the cover, Raising the Empowered Puppy. This will be, for the first time ever, uniting the way breeders raise their puppies to be empowered puppies, to believe in their own abilities, to be brave, to use the yes marker word, the puppy emergency recall, meeting their needs in order, all these important things I've been talking about for years, finally, all in one place, so puppies can go for the first time seamlessly, being understood, respected, honored, heard, from breeder to owner. This is amazing for our puppies. So how your breeder's raising them will now be given to you to continue. And I just can't say how this will truly change puppy raising for our families. This, everything in here is how we raise our Healing Hearts puppies, our service dogs, our facility dogs, our therapy dogs. All puppies deserve to be raised the Empowered Puppy way. So in the back, there's lots of handouts. So one of them we're going to discuss today, there's these pretty little handouts, is these six things we need to talk about before bringing home a puppy so that it's successful. All right. Number one, let me get my little graphic over here. Those of you that are watching on video, if you're listening to my podcast, sorry, you don't get to see the graphics, but please make sure you just log, or not log into, but visit 4ekennels.com, the letter 4, the number E, the letter E, kennels.com, 4ekennels.com, and order the book. Sign up for, depending on when you listen to this, or sign up for updates to when it will be released. We're less than 30 days to having this available to hit purchase and get this into your home. All right. The first thing to talk about is, where will your puppy sleep? I know that seems like, are you serious, Jeanette? This is your big advice. Yes, it is. Because when you have inconsistency, like, are they going to sleep in the kennel? Are they not going to sleep in the kennel? One person in the family allows him to take a nap on the couch. The other person doesn't even want him on the couch. Oh, sometimes we allow him to sleep in bed. Other times we don't. And so much I've seen, especially the first day, people are so excited to bring their puppy home. I've been there. I broke a few rules when I brought home my baby farm dog, baby Asgard. I did the same thing. It's hard not to, because you're like, I just got them. I just want to hold him and watch a movie, or I just want to sleep with them just tonight. I didn't do either one of those things, though. But it's really confusing for the puppy if one day they're allowed to and the next day they're not, or with one person they're allowed to and not with the other. It causes frustration. It's not consistent, fair leadership, and puppies will act out. They act out by more mouthing, by destructive behaviors, by barking, and just frustration, by the level of intensity of chasing and biting increases, because they've got to figure out what to do with this frustration of, like, nothing I do is right. Like, 1 minute I'm allowed to, 1 minute I'm not. So make sure you decide where is your puppy going to sleep? Is it going to sleep in a kennel? Where will the kennel be? Are they allowed on the furniture? Are they not allowed on the furniture? Will they have some nap times outside of the kennel? All those types of things. Really sit down as a family and agree on where your puppy will sleep so that that is really consistent, so there's no frustrations on your puppy's part as far as where they sleep, okay? Number two, our puppy will have access to these areas of the home. This can help prevent, this alone, and I have another podcast about the biggest mistake we make by giving too much space to a puppy initially, causes a lot of problems. One is with potty training. Two is it's really difficult to monitor and watch a puppy when you can't see them because they're in a different room. Or you're in a different room. If there's too much space and the puppy has access to toilet paper, garbage cans, the couch, socks, shoes, the kids' bedrooms, carpet to pee on, it's not their fault. Like, they've been given way too much access. I absolutely 100% would say if you have a two-story home, get a baby gate and block off the stairs. Do not allow a puppy upstairs yet. They need to be potty trained and have the whole downstairs before then you let them go upstairs. Puppies are highly situational, and for them, potty training doesn't equate to both stories of the home yet. So they may be potty trained downstairs, but when they get upstairs, especially because almost always the second story has, you guessed it, carpet. Puppies love to pee on carpet because of the smell. And two, something magical happens. Their pee disappears and they don't have to step in it. So it's really fantastic. And they'll pee on carpet all day long because they feel like they're keeping their den clean. It's gone. And the carpet was stinky anyway. Like, unfortunately, carpet just is. I'll be honest, I have a little bit of an OCD issue with carpet. I could never live in a house with carpet because you can never really get it clean. Like, if a puppy does pee, it soaks down into the pad and everything, and we can surface level clean it, but like, it's not actually all the way clean. Like, let's just be real. So I have tile everywhere, and then I can choose to lay down area rugs or not. Or if I have a puppy in the house, I can pick them up. So what areas of the house will your puppy have access? I highly recommend fencing off and starting really small just to lay that foundation of what door they're going to exit to potty and keep that really, really consistent, and little by little giving them more and more space. And potty training will be a breeze. And then guiding and training your puppy, the best thing you can do is prevention. So the less opportunity they have to get into mischief and do things they shouldn't do, the easier training will be. All right. The caveat to that is if you have a farm dog that has access to a lot of things just because it's their job. You follow me on social media, you'll know the mischief. Baby Asgard, my second little farm dog in training, gets into. He is a tornado, and we've gone round and round with puppy proofing a garage. That's been no joke. Okay, number three, the commands you will use as a family and the expected puppy outcome. Like, what's the action you want? One example for this is I see often within a family, someone will use the down command, and then someone else will use the off command, and they're asking for the same thing. So imagine how frustrating that is to a puppy when you're saying two different words but expecting the same outcome. We don't want this kind of confusion. Later on, dogs can learn a lot of different human words or any different language, honestly. But initially, we want things really clear and consistent. So if you actually want the dog to get off of something, like get off of me, get off the couch, get physically remove yourself from something, that should be off. Down should be to lay down, to be in a down position. But again, I don't care what word you use, just be consistent in what you're saying, how you're saying it, and the expected outcome. I've seen families use different words for kennel, and it's so confusing to puppies. I feel so bad for them. Like, they're processing, they're trying to figure it out. But when you have someone using different words, wanting the same outcome, really, really unfair. So make a list as a family. What are you going to call kennel to teach them to go into the kennel? Is it going to be kennel? Is it going to be place? Is it going to be go to bed? Is it going to be go to jail? I've seen some families have fun with this. I don't care what it is. Just make sure you're like, write them down. What is going to be the verbal command? If you want to do nonverbal commands, make sure that they're the same too. Like, for example, I've seen people just put up one finger for sit. And then I've seen where people have taken their hand, they turn their hand toward themselves so their palm is facing them, and they move from their elbow. It's like you're going to touch your nose almost, sit. So you're just bringing your hand, like your arm is straight out and you're bending your elbow with your palm facing you up, and that's a sit command. So make sure you're even doing the same nonverbal commands and the same verbal commands, all expecting the same outcome. Can you see how frustrating that would be for a puppy when everything is so, so different? Okay, number four. Our puppy schedule will be what? And I have in Raising the Empowered Puppy, I have a sample schedule for you just to give you an idea. But really think about and talk about what will the schedule be for your puppy? What time are they going to be getting up? How long is their playtime going to be? Are you going to work? Do you have a dog sitter coming in, a dog walker coming in? What time's bedtime? It's really important initially when you're potty training too to pick up food and water 3 hours before bedtime. I will, especially if they have the zoomies after that or a good play session, just give them a little bit of water or an ice cube so we don't have a full bladder. But those kind of things can really, really help in potty training. So having them on a schedule initially. I caution, depending on the breed, like poodles, sorry poodles to throw you out there, if you keep them on such a tight schedule, then poodles can have difficulty adapting and being flexible. Like, I only eat out of this bowl in this area, I'll only poop here. And so it becomes really difficult if you try to travel with your dog, are they anywhere but home? Are they only poop at home and they don't, you're out all day with them. And you're like, oh my gosh, poodles are really, really known for really liking to be on a schedule, which is fine to some extent, but we want them to be adaptable and flexible. And no, it's okay if you eat out of a different bowl and you eat somewhere else. It's okay if you go poop somewhere else, you're going to live. Lightning will not strike you. It's okay if I rearrange the furniture, don't have a meltdown. Initially have a really nice schedule because it aids in potty training and making sure puppies get enough sleep. We make a big mistake on continuing to wake up a puppy. You're so excited to have a puppy, so you keep them up and you're playing and they want to keep up with you. And then kids come home and they're waking them up and wanting them to play. And then your older kids come home from high school and sports later and they want to play with the puppy. And we really need to make sure we have a schedule that the family agrees on too, so the puppy has their quiet time and their nap times. Right. Number five, our puppy's designated potty area will be. Have a spot, and not only a spot you want your puppy to potty to, use the same door, please. I had clients call me really frustrated about potty training, and when I start asking more questions, it's very easy to understand why the puppy is confused, because they're taking him out different doors, expecting to potty in different places initially. Doggy door's open, not open, now the front door, now the side door, now at the bedroom door. I'm like, how in the world can they possibly know what door to go to tell you? Like, there's no consistency. So I think it's great, again, to have flexible and adaptable dogs, but as a puppy, initially, to potty train, to lay that foundation, choose one door. Choose one spot you want them to go potty. If you are really wanting your dog to potty in a specific area, you're going to need to take them to that area every time. It is more work. You're going to have more patience and just let's get them outside initially. And then like, no pooping on the cement patio. Let's get them off that. Some people will just work little by little. But if you're just, you're one of those people, and I know because I've had my clients this way, they're like, we want our dog to literally poop in this 3 foot by 3 foot space. This is it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not saying they can't do it, but the training is going to be on you. Like, you can't just expect the dog to know they have to poop in this 3 by 3 foot space or whatever. So, and then my city families, if they've got the potty patch on the patio and they've got to be trained to have good target, not poop and walk, not pee a little bit and walk, pee a little bit and walk, pee a little, you're going to have to put in the time. Like, if that's what you're requiring and that's your expectation, you're going to have to put in the time and have a lot of patience and teach your puppy to potty in a specific place. The other thing I want to mention too, if you do like to travel with your dog, please start fairly soon, like 3 weeks after they're home. Once you have them like going to the same door and going to their spot, or at least going outside. Like, that's me, because I'm a little lazy. I've never not admitted that. Like, I'm just happy to get the dog outside. Like, I got some boo-boo on my patio right now, and I'm like, it's fine, it's outside. We're gonna work on moving further out to go potty and on the rocks if we can. But what's also really important is you then, once you get your puppy, we're like, I think we're doing really good on potty training, right? You need to start putting the leash on them and taking them to go potty on a leash. Please trust me when I tell you, if you ever want to travel with your dog and they have not mastered the idea, the concept to potty while on a leash, it can be a nightmare for you to have a dog not poop for 2 days and then poop when they're not supposed to poop. So let's just keep that in mind, that we want our puppy to first be potty trained and then be able to potty on a leash. Like, that's just good ownership, okay? The other thing I just want to throw out there are doggy doors. I love doggy doors because potty training is really, really easy, but I'll say it's not really potty training. So I tell my clients, I mean, I get it. If you have a doggy door and you're happy with, like, I'm going to start on a doggy door, and as I get older, we'll work on the concept of I have to hold it. And number two, I had to learn how to tell you I have to go potty. Those are two things they don't learn if they're able to go to the bathroom whenever they have to go. So again, I would say, let's suck it up, shut the doggy door, teach our puppies to go to whatever door. We need them to know how to hold it, number one. And number two, how to tell you they have to go potty, whether that's ring a bell, whether it's sit by the door, some will bark. Some of that you can train. Bells hanging on a door is fantastic. That only lasts so long though, because they outsmart the system. And if they just want to go outside, they ring the bells. Or you sit on the couch, they ring the bells because they want you to get up. You're welcome for having a smart puppy. But just think about that with using a doggy door right away. I'm not saying I'm against it, but just understand you're not teaching puppies those two important concepts. They need to hold it and they need to tell you. Good, good, good. All right. And our number six thing you need to talk about, think about, agree on is who's going to be the person that's really kind of in charge of the puppy massage and the socialization. So I like to have, especially if it's a bigger family, mom or dad, or if you feel like an older teen is ready for this responsibility, which I love to use the guide, use the forms in the book and make sure that those things are being done every day and or how often I suggest based on their age. So puppy massage is almost every day for several weeks, and then we can do it less. We're just teaching puppies that are really compliant to all sorts of touch, even if it's a little uncomfortable, because unfortunately there's going to be things in their life that are a little uncomfortable. Vet visits, vaccines, they get a sticker in their paw, getting their ears cleaned if it hurts a little bit. I mean, I wish I could keep them in a bubble, but I can't with my own kids either. You know, the dentist stinks. I'm sorry. I hate going to. A vaccine hurts. I'm sorry. And it's just one of those things. So as much as we can teach touch compliant puppies, then those things won't be so upsetting. There's also just inappropriate handling that happens. I mean, toddlers by nature are just not appropriate handlers. Banging, squeezing, tugging, twisting, laying on. A dog that's not used to that, that hasn't been conditioned, that it's okay, no big deal. All right. I've been having handling exercises since I've been a baby with my breeder. These are one of these things that's so important that breeders start it. We pass it on to you. Is the handling exercises that I devise, there's 10 steps. It doesn't take that long every day. Plus, it's really, really, I explain in the book, such a critical time, such an important time to truly bond with your dog. When done, when your dog is in a quiet state of mind, it's not only for a health check. You're checking your dog from head to toe, making sure no bumps, lumps, stickers, scratches, teeth look good, eyes look good, ears look good, no little sores on them, no little poop stuck to their bum, like everything looks good. Then giving them a massage, but teaching them also, it's okay if I tug on your collar. It's okay if you get a little tug on your ear. It's okay if you get heavy petting and patting. It's okay if, you know, your tail gets tugged a little bit or stepped on. Not, I'm not saying you got to step on it, but this is what it does correlate to, that they're just not so sensitive to touch. So it's truly a gift we're giving our puppies. And then to bring it to the next level of a deeper bond and trust between you and your dog is just a beautiful time. I'll use it, like even with baby Asgard now, I'll use it also, add in brushing him during that time. I'm doing a head-to-toe check, doing the 10-step massage, and then I truly end it with just rubbing and massaging him, cuddling and holding, and just living in that moment with him where it's just he and I and nothing else, no other noise, no other distraction. And it really is part of my favorite day. So making sure we have somebody talk about that ahead of the time. Here's the things we have to do, or there's going to be socialization. We got to follow the schedule in the guide. I give you 4 weeks of what to do every day to really give you a good kickstart on how we raise our dogs. And so just making sure that someone's kind of in charge of the charts and making sure the puppy massage and the socialization is getting done. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. I hope you have a great Friday. Pass this along to anybody you know that's thinking about getting a puppy or just got a puppy. It's not too late, even if they've had a puppy for a couple weeks, to fix any of this. The good thing is our puppies are resilient. They're smart. We make mistakes. We're human. It's just a part of puppy raising. The best we can do is what we know. And I'm going to be giving you a lot more information to help the puppy raising process be as successful as possible, because first and foremost, our puppies deserve that. Second, so do you. You deserve to have that puppy you've always wanted. I'm Jeanette with 4E Kennels. We're only healing hearts and changing lives, but we're changing breeding from bad to badass. And now we are helping you raise your very own, get my book here, your very own empowered puppy. I give you exactly what we do to raise our service facility therapy dogs. Any breed, any puppy, this is your guide to raise a puppy that is honored, respected, believes in themselves, and you have a bond with your puppy that you've always wanted. Have a great weekend. Bye.